Not long after God's decline, David wanting to build him a house, the Almighty God made plans and arrangement for a house to be built for the tabernacle by Solomon. We hope to look generally on 2 points tonight. There will be about 4 or 5 points we deal with. About 2 tonight. Let us hear the passage of 1 Chronicles 22, 6 through 9. 1 Chronicles 22, 6 through 9.
Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel.
That is David. Call David was up in age. He called for Solomon, his son,
and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God.
That's right.
But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight."
Okay. So here we are given the grounds or the reasons for the divine refusal. And it is quite interesting that what David accomplished, we will read a few verses of that, what David accomplished during this period, both leading up to his kingship, challenging Goliath, the Philistine giant. And not long after he became king, engaging in many battles with the surrounding Gentiles nation. From God's own comment and blessing of David, this is exactly what the Almighty God wanted David to do. To subdue the Gentile nation by which they were surrounded so as to give the Israelite a breathing space so they can get established in the promised land. But here we are, the Almighty God refusing David's offer. The Almighty God was also quite upfront, or pleased to inform David why what was the reason for God's refusal? God told the man why. He shed a lot of blood. Let us, a while ago you read.
I stopped at verse 8.
Verse 8. Go on to 14.
Behold,
turn to 2 Samuel 8, 6 through 14.
And David put garrisons in Syria and Damascus.
This is hitting at the reason given by God for his refusal, for his not accepting David building a house to him. The passage being read now, sought to shine some light for us on David's life of war, battle. And I drop by to remind us that they were necessary battle so as to save the Israelite from being swallowed up by the Gentiles. So let us hear 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6 to around verse 14. Let us hear it.
Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went.
Wherever he went, and that would include his undertaking, was blessed by God. Read on.
And David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadazir.
That shield must be mentioned in scripture. This Gentile soldier shield was made of gold. That's right. Remember, the shield is that which the soldier hold to protect themselves. His was made of gold. David rightly took that. Read on.
And brought them to Jerusalem. And from Bethel, and from Berothia, cities of Hadadezer, King David took exceeding much brass. When Tio, king of Hamath, heard that David had smitten all the hosts of Hadadezer, then to Tio went Joram, his son, unto King David, to salute him and to bless him.
That's right. That's what this king, wise king, did when he heard of David's conquest. David was just sweeping the place, subduing the Gentile, so as to give the Israelite breathing space. And this is exactly what God wanted. This king sent to make friendship between his kingdom and David's kingdom. Read, brother.
Then Tur sent Joram unto his son unto King David to salute him and to bless him, because he had fought against Hadadezer and smitten him, for Hadadezer had wars with Tur. And Joram brought with him vessels of silver and vessels of gold and vessels of brass, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued, of Syria and of Moab and of the children of Ammon and of the Philistines and of the Amalek and of the spoils of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah.
All these are nation against which David, remember, these were God's battle. Without subduing the Gentile, the survival of the Israelite was threatened. And here you have, for the first time in Israel's history, you have a man came along, fearless, courageous, convicted, that would take the battle to the Gentile. And he was very successful. You know what is striking? It's shedding blood in these battles which denied him the opportunity to build a house to God. Yet David accepted God's decision. That's one of the things you learn about the faithful people in the Bible, Old and New Testament. Those who were genuinely faithful, God-fearing, when God's decision went against their own wishes, they submitted to God's decision.
Yeah.
And that same attitude and disposition is expected of us today.
Sure.
A lot of times the Almighty God changed our goals and our objective that we have had in mind all our lives, put out effort and sacrifice for. And at the very moment when we think we reach them, we are disappointed. God works like that. But as you get to know God, you will come to realize He never makes any mistake. And when your intentions are good, though disappointed and feel let down, all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
What verse you stopped, brother?
That was 12.
Go on to 14.
And David got him a name when he returned from smiting of the Syrians in the Valley of Salt,
mm-hmm.
being 18,000 men.
18. In that battle, you don't have a right to give the man a name. 18,000 of the enemies, the Gentiles, who have no respect or fear for God. Read on.
And he put garrisons in Edom.
Now, notice this too. And what church leaders like myself must learn from these little hints is we must learn to be strategic. He put garrisons
in Edom.
In Edom or Edom, which means he had his security army, so many hundred or thousands of soldiers placed at strategic places, so that if and when there is any breaking out, he would be informed. Read on.
Throughout all of Edom, he put he garrisons,
mm-hmm.
and all they of Edom.
Remember, David was a relatively young man because he had just taken over the throne not long before this. And as a young man, he was quite intelligent and strategic. Those garrisons were important to secure against surprise attack. Read up.
And all they of Edom became David's servants.
That's right. They had to pay him tribute and taxes. That's also good and strategic.
Uh-huh. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went.
God preserved the man. This, brothers and sisters, don't ever think of yourself as being insignificant in God's business. While you do not permit yourself to be overcome with false pride that comes by feeling of self-importance, don't go to the other extreme. Don't ever put limit on what God can use you to do. Please, don't fail yourself when God has not failed you. I am really encouraged to see the strategicness of this young leader, David. You'll stop at 14.
Yeah, that was 14.
Okay. Let me hear verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 22. I think I want verse 11.
Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee.
Okay, that is 1 Chronicles 22.
Verse 11.
Let me hear 2 Samuel 8, 22. 8:11.
8:11.
Yeah.
Which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord.
That's the verse. Give me verse 10 and 11.
Then Toi sent Joram, his son, unto King David to salute him and to bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and smitten him. For Hadadezer had wars with Toi, and Joram brought with him vessels of silver and vessels of gold and vessels of brass, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued.
That's the passage. And I wonder, as the brother read, you know, God was never left out of the picture for David. Just within past week, we deal with the subject of giving. David wasn't here heaping up treasure and wealth for himself and forget God, and that whatever he gathered, even by conquest, part of it should be given to God. And that is what verse 11 is telling us, that golds and other valuable metal brought as tribute by this king, David chose to dedicate some of it to God, and rightly so. We must take learning from lesson like this. Now, so let me get back to the point. The grounds are the reason for the divine refusal, refusing David's desire to build God a house, really for the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the center of worship. The Almighty God said to Moses, "There will I meet with thee." Now, as I've said, there will be about 4 or 5 reasons. We look only at 2 tonight. The Almighty God refused and explained to David why he refused. But among some of the things to be considered is that a person may will, that is, wanting to do something, but at the same time, what we will, we are not able to perform. That happens quite often in life. That which we will express the desire to do, and a lot of time plan to do it, in many cases, we are not able to perform that which we plan to do. Wait, But a lot of times, our plan or wanting to do is immature and lack information. A lot of times we run ahead to raise this building, demolish it, and build a new one without considering where the funds will be coming from. How will it be done? So a person may will or want to do more than the person is able to perform. There is, along this line, there is a difference between willing and mere wishing. Let me repeat that. There is a difference between willingness to do and having a mere wish. That you wish to do something doesn't necessarily mean that you are willing to do it. The wish might just be an emotional thing. And many things we talk like we're ready to do, it's just emotion speaking out. But when rationalities kick in, we realize that I'm not sure I want to do that. So remember, in life, there is a difference, as I've just said, between willingness to do and wishing to do. Look at John, St. John chapter 7, verse 17. St. John chapter 7, verse 17. Let us hear it.
If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself.
Read it again, Brother Webb.
St. John 7, 17.
You're reading the right passage.
If any man will do his will,
if any man will do his will, what will result?
He will know of the doctrine, whether it be of God.
That willingness comes before certain things. If any man, sorry to take, run away, take your mind. Okay. Sorry, you have two and give me only one. Okay. Yes. You see, brother, always remember when you read that passage, if any man is willing to, if it means if anyone wants to, you and I, the Almighty God genuinely, or rather, the Almighty God examine us deeply inside to see the willingness by which we do anything. Giving, coming out to worship. Do you come out simply because you do not want anybody to say you miss church? Or that is not any consideration. You come out because you really feel that you are to be here to worship God. You are to be here to learn something more about God and his will. You really deep down want to come, and the Almighty God knows that. That's the type of if any man will. Meaning if anyone is willing to do God's will, That will determine the extent to which the Almighty God helped you to understand that will. So that willingness, you know, remember I've said there is a difference between willingness and mere wishing. What God wants is genuine willingness in us. Our sentimental wishing, start again, Brother Mitchell. Our sentimental wishing means nothing to God. If we just wish to do something religious or spiritual in the church, and it is just a mere sentiment or feeling that comes over any of us for the time being, God is not moved by that. But God is moved by genuine willingness, wanting to undertake something for him. God is always moved by that. And we must remember, just mere sentimental wanting to do something or plan to do something, God doesn't want that. He wants willingness. So, a person may will, that is want to, more than he may perform. A lot of time, we will or plan to do something that we have not count the cost. And therefore, we are not able to accomplish what we plan to do. When we are so willing that we count the cost, then it is then that we are prepared. And by cost, I don't mean monetary cost. If that is a part of it, so be. But total cost. What does it mean when I undertake this? What does it going to call upon me to deliver, to give to it? Things like that. Thank you. And the other point that may come into the picture when we, like David, plan to and want to build God's house, a person providential place, that is that place where God wants you or me. A person providential place may place limitations upon us. Very important. You and I may plan something that by the mere surface of it, looking at it, it sounds so good and so wonderful. In fact, it might be a plan being germinated in you for the past 10, 15 years. And now you reach the point where you feel you can undertake it. Remember what I'm saying, that a person providential place may place limit upon that man or that woman. When the Almighty God refused to have David build him a house, David at that time was at the very place that God wanted him. All the battle that we read of in 2 Samuel chapter 8 and more, that was necessary. For David was just preparing the geographical environment to establish his footing and his kingdom. Mark you, God was a part of his plan. But what we read of David doing in 2 Samuel chapter 8 from verse 6 to verse 14, 15, 16. David was at the right place doing the right thing that God wanted him to do then. Building a house for God is not what God wanted David to do then. In fact, look here. David was clearing the way without knowing, so that by the time his son came around to build the temple, the whole environment would be ready for that temple. The Almighty God knew that. And he's shedding a lot of blood, of course. Is not the right man to build a temple and for what the temple represents. But David's battle and victory in battle, subduing the Gentile nation, creating an environment in Israel so that Solomon could build a temple and the Israelite enjoy it. And it brings glory to the Almighty God. A person providential place. That is the place where providence placed you or me. That providential place where God wants us in 2025. That may place limit on us without we knowing it. What you must do is do your best for the cause of Jesus Christ at all times. And the Almighty God will give you guidance. When you have some great plans for the church, you don't tell anyone. But that's what your plans are. And then when you are close to initiating those plans, big disappointment comes. Just beg God for strength to go through the disappointment. Because the Almighty God will provide you other opportunities. Don't never be so devastated by good plans you have that you start planning for Christ and for your work in the church. Just beg God to give you the strength to deal with that disappointment and give you the strength and the wisdom and the courage to plan again. So I repeat, a person's providential place, that is where providence places you, that may put limitation upon you or upon me. And I repeat, David was where God wanted him. At the time he was fighting these battles, that became, because these battles resulted in God refusing him building a house. But David took that with a right attitude. May God help us to learn from these great characters. Wait, there are some two more, additional or three more points that will be looked on in another lesson Sunday night, most likely, that we can use to encourage ourselves when disappointment comes. Thank you.